I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 551. My wallet's making all of my decisions for me. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda!
Hi.
Oh my god, it's T-minus days to PAX. I have much excite.
I know, you like fly off soon.
Yeah. Yeah,
You do your panel soon.
Yeah, I get to talk to people from a place of expertise. That's dope. I'm really excited about it. I actually have never been to a PAX dev conference, so I'm really excited to go. I like talking with people. I don't know if you guys have figured it out, the reason why we've had a podcast this long. It's because I like to talk. I'm not real big on the writing. I like to talk. I like to make the talky-talky with my mouth. And I really enjoy sitting down and talking with people about strategy, about how to take the thing that they're passionate about and really be able to organize around it to make it the thing that they do every day. Like, those are such exciting conversations to be part of. I end up more times than not, like, doing consultations ultimately for my friends on marketing strategy and stuff like that, because that's what I do for my day job. And I enjoy doing it so much when I talk with people who are passionate about creating things. So I'm extremely excited to be able to go to PAX Dev and spend 2 days with people who are wanting to build companies, whether they're small indies or, you know, ultimately to become bigger companies, but to really talk about and learn how they can take this thing that they're passionate about creating and bring it to the market. So I'm super excited for that. And I'm also super excited to go to PAX West. I haven't been to PAX West in, at this point, almost a decade now.
Yeah, because I think, 2008, right?
Yeah, I think it was 2008. So, you know, it's almost been 10 years.
Wow.
It almost feels like it's like the perfect timing. You know, our podcast is, you know, going on 12 years in April. And it was so weird because, like, the first big thing, the big show that I actually got to go to as press was PAX West. And that was because of the All Games crew, because we had just become part of allgames.com. Rep it up, allgames.com. You should definitely check them out. They got great shows over there. But we had just become part of All Games, and they were doing live stream of, you know, all their shows from the floor. They invited us to be part of it if we were coming out. I was able to make it happen. You dialed in, and it was my first big video game convention ever, and I was just completely overwhelmed. I had never been in Seattle before. I had never been to, really, any kind of video game, sci-fi, or even at that point, tech conference.
Or expo. Yeah, because it was after that that you guys started doing the CES bracket.
Right. I hadn't even done CES at that point. So PAX was like the gateway, and after that, I was like, I need to do more of this, so we need to figure out how to go to CES. Like, I want to be all over MAGFest. Like, what is out there that I don't know about? Oh,
that
my God.
I need to be at.
Yeah, and then my wallet was like, you can't go nowhere. Ha ha! And my wallet was right, as my wallet often is, as much as I don't like it. But it was really an eye-opening experience for me because I got to experience the mostly overwhelmingly powerful, positive vibe of the community coming together. And I haven't really experienced it like I experienced it at West since. Like, East is amazing, and it's grown into such a phenomenal expo. you know, especially now that they've figured out, like, the floor and the flow, and it seems like people are embracing deodorant now. It just, it's a much different event than it was, you know, the first one that we went to, the inaugural run at the Heinz Convention Center. You know, it's just so different and great, but there's just, there's something about Prime. There's something about being in Seattle, being at the convention center, as big as it is, so many people, so much cosplay, so many panels. It's just, there's something about being in home base that when you do your thing from, like, your hometown, it's just so much more you, authentic, and rawr. There's a lot to be said for the OG. So I'm really excited about spending some time at West. I don't have any appointments booked. I am basically free running PAX West, so I can really just spend time exploring and talking with people. I'm going to be going to the What's Good Games party. Our friend and awesome person in general, Blonde Nerd, is throwing it with What's Good Games. So I'm hoping that I get to get hugs with all the ladies. But I'm so ready for just a week of video game awesomeness. And I have to thank each and every one of you out there who donated to my GoFundMe to help me get there. Because after paying my taxes, money was mad tight. And it was just not an opportunity that I wanted to let pass me by. And you guys helped me make it real. So thank you so much for each and every dollar that you donated, because that helped me get my flight and get my room. So beyond touched and thrilled and grateful and humble. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But I'm excited about that. So be on the lookout, because I'm probably going to do some write-ups. Not a lot of write-ups while I'm there. I'm hopeful that I'm actually going to be able to do some live video while I'm out there. So I've got the phone set up. I'm going to bring a simple little mic. I hope to be doing some walkthroughs while I'm on the floor and just some reaction videos. That'll be up on our YouTube channel and on our website and probably on Facebook, at least a couple on our page. So if you aren't checking out and you haven't bookmarked any of our social pages or follow us on social or bookmarked our site, make sure you do that, because that's where you're going to see my content from the show. And hopefully if you enjoy it, we'll do more coverage like that for whatever shows that we are able to make for the year.
Woo-hoo!
Whoop-de-boop. Okay, so
Esh fans are the freshest fans.
Like, I mean, seriously, y'all are dope. I got like nothing else to say. Like, our fans are dope, and our friends are dope. Like, shout out to Red Infamy for giving me a shout out in her stream to get, you know, my GoFundMe link out there for people to hook it up. Like, the Esh team itself came up out of pocket. Like, y'all are great. Yeah, I'm looking at you, sis.
Doing, you know, what I can,
and,
bro.
Like I appreciate, like, everybody on the planet. Because, look, we all got bills to pay, right?
Right.
Like, we got games to buy. We got game systems to buy. Like, you got, you know, things that your dollars need to go to. But, like, so many of you guys came up out of pocket with, you know, your twos and fews. And then some big spenders came out, like, out of the woodwork. I don't even know y'all like that. But thank you. So, I'm grateful. I am truly touched, and I am thankful once again to be part of this community, because y'all helped me so deeply, and I get to now speak. I'm a panelist at PAX Dev, and I'm going to be going to PAX West 10 years after the first one that I went to, because I have not had the funds to do it before, and y'all helped me get there so I could do this time, and so I'm grateful. And I'm a little emotional, but I'm going to move into the game stuff now so that I don't cry like a...
Bitch!
Girl. I wasn't going to say bitch. I was going to say little girl.
Like a bitch.
Okay, like a bitch. on this cast. So let's get into the game stuff real quick. We got some game stuff. We've got some maybe anime stuff, time, you know, permitting, because, you know, we like to talk. Let's talk. I want to first talk about, just real quickly, before I actually get into my main topic, Xbox One X pre-orders went up.
Yeah.
Okay. And
did you get one?
The SNES Classic pre-orders went up.
Did you get one?
No. And no. Did I not just talk about my wallet?
Hey.
And those taxes.
Didn't know. Because you said there are games to buy and systems to buy.
I desperately wanted to. You know, I started doing research because for me, even though, you know, the Xbox One X does upscale, so if you don't have a 4K TV, games that you have and you play on the Xbox One X will still be upscaled, so you'll have, you know, a sharper 1080p image on your TV. I was like, if I'm going to go in for this, I need to really go in for this, which means I needed to get a 4K TV. And at the time that I was originally looking at 4K TVs, they were still cost prohibitive. They've now gotten to the point where they're not. Like, I was searching Amazon the other day, and there were, like, 7 or 8 LG and Samsung 50-inch 4K TVs sub $800.
Nope.
Okay. And I was like, okay. Like, I found a 60-inch LG 4K TV for $659.
Still no.
Nope. I was like, shit. I could, like, almost do that. Like, if I pay my car payment late next month.
No.
And, like,
stop robbing Peter to pay Paul.
I don't even like Peter like that, though. Why Peter gotta have his hand in my pocket?
Because he pays for your car.
True. But I pay Peter for my car. Peter don't pay my car. If Peter paid my car, I could buy the TV now. But Peter don't pay my car.
No.
He got his hand in my pocket. Like, yo, give me that money.
I mean, and what has Paul done for you lately?
This is what I'm asking. This is what I'm asking. And the answer is nothing except keep me out of jail. So,
I mean, that's really good because it allows you to keep getting money.
Truth. Get money. So I was like, okay, well, if I start putting, you know, $25 away a week now, by Christmas, I could get a 4K TV. Because there's going to be sales going into holiday. You know everybody's going
to
drop.
Yeah, but you're going to have to, like, scout out in advance which one you want. Find the place that's going to have the sale for the one that you want.
Right. Well, let me be very specific. I'm only buying TVs now through Amazon. Because they deliver it to my door, and they usually work with a company that will actually bring the TV in, especially, like, if it's LED, to bring it in, warm it up, and actually set it up. No additional cost other than what I paid to ship it and buy it. So, like, I don't do Best Buy. I'm sorry. I have watched Best Buy employees rook people on TV sales and install costs and get people into situations that they don't need to be into. So I'm not about that life. And I just haven't been happy ever with the stock of TVs at any physical Target that I've gone to. So, you know, Amazon wins fatality. That being said, though, I'm, like, still at this point, we're, like, talking about the TV maybe at the beginning of the year as, like, a birthday present for myself if I put my money aside now, right?
Right.
Even looking at that, I'm like, that's just the TV. That's not the new Xbox yet. The new Xbox, yeah, there's some cost to it, the Xbox One X. And I'm just like, at this point, do I have any killer thing right now on the Xbox One X that I need to pre-order right this minute? Because I have my day one Xbox, and I have my Xbox One S. And the S is the machine that I use to capture from. And my thought always was, oh, I will sell or trade in my Xbox One S and my non-custom controllers, my non-fancy controllers, and I will use that towards the purchase of my Xbox One X. But I'm just like, where's my killer app? Because I don't have Crackdown 3. And in all honesty, that was going to be the motivator for me to get the 4K TV and to get the Xbox One X. But that's now been pushed a year. I got Cuphead, but Cuphead's going to look just as good on my existing 60-inch TV that does 1080p now.
Okay.
I don't have a Halo pushing me. I'm going to be playing Destiny on my PS4. So, you know, the mature adult in me was like, you don't need to do this pre-order right now. And I was like, yeah, that's true. I don't. Even though the pre-orders, you know, moved quickly, like even getting the Project Scorpio one, which just has Project Scorpio, you know, on it.
Yeah.
The words Project Scorpio. And it's not even like it's etched in. It's just, you know,
like a decal
on. It's just screened on. So, like, that shit will scratch off if you move your console. I'm just like, I don't have a reason right this moment to to pre-order this box. So I didn't. The same thing on the SNES. And the SNES Classic was just simply because I couldn't actually get to a cart checkout before it said back orders. Because SNES is probably, like, as far as, like, classic systems, the SNES is probably my favorite system. Like, up against the original NES and the Genesis and TurboGrafx-16. Like, if you said, like, out of this group, what would you pick as your favorite console? I would definitely say the SNES. Yeah, Super Mario 3 was, like, the shit for me. I love that game so hard. It was probably the last Mario game that I was like, you would have to, like, pry the controller out of my hands to get me to stop playing it. So, at some point in time, maybe I'll have an SNES, I don't know, but I'm not pushing for it. And the same thing on the Xbox One X. I will have an Xbox One X, but it will be when I have a 4K TV to actually connect it to so I can get the full experience. Because right now, like, the games that I have coming that I'm interested in playing, they'll look just fine on the system that I have that I'm playing them on, you know, especially on my S, you know. So then the thing becomes, well, if I get the 4K TV before I get the Xbox One X, my S, while it doesn't do the full wide gamut color HDR, it does have some HDR support, does work with the 4K TV. Would I switch and actually sell out my day one console towards the Xbox One X? So I don't know, but I'm not convinced yet. So unlike sitting in, you know, the media briefing at E3 when I pre-ordered both an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4 because I was so motivated, and then a month before they came out, it had to be like, my wallet can't handle all this, so I gotta pick one. I gotta tell you, like, I'm not in that place right now with the One X, and, like, I wish my wallet was stronger. So I could tell you, like, I was on.
I wish it was a little bit stronger. I wish it had some money.
Yeah, I really do. Because, like, if money wasn't an issue, yeah, day one, like, moment one, up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I definitely would have pre-ordered an Xbox One X.
It will come, bro. It will come.
Well, I have no doubt. Like, I full-on expect that, like, before next spring, I will have one. It's just gonna be time, because I'm gonna be responsible about my funds.
You be that adult.
I'm gonna be grunt.
Be adultish. Be adultish.
Adultish. yeah, that's basically where I'm at in life right now. I'm being adultish. So, with that being said, in my adultishness, I have been playing Uncharted The Lost Legacy on my PS4. I've been on my PS4 a bunch. In the last couple of weeks, you know, playing Hellblade, which I now really can only play, like, when there's light out.
I knew it.
It's really good, though. Seriously, you have to play it. And for anybody that really likes games that mess with your mental, you really, really need to play it. And it's only, like, probably, like, unless you have never played a game before on the PlayStation, about 8 hours to get through it. I am taking my slow-ass time because there's only so many hours of daylight during the day that I actually have access to play my PlayStation. But it is a hell of an experience. I will probably run through it again when I'm done. And I've been really good at not looking at, like, any endgame spoilers, because that's usually what I do, because I'm, again, adultish but not an adult. If I really, really like a game, I will try to see if anybody's already got to endgame on YouTube to see what the endgame is, to know where I'm going but not know the path to get there. And I so want to enjoy the journey that I haven't done it with Hellblade yet, which I'm surprised by. So, but yeah, don't, you guys should play it with the headphones on. I can't play it with headphones on. Because I tried the other night and,
No bueno?
I should not have done that. I should not have done that. I don't want to tell you how to live your life other than you should play this game. But I should not have done that. Especially because it was dark. Out.
Oh, bro.
It's so good, though. But I have been playing Uncharted Lost Legacy. And, you know, we talked about it when we saw it at E3. And I think we had, if I remember correctly, some similar hesitations on, like, look, I'm all for Nadine and all for Chloe, because I love Claudia Black. I love Claudia Black so much. But, like, I was all for, you know, the gal pal reunion. I think that either character could hold an Uncharted game by themselves, because Nadine is just such a strong character.
I feel like there was a lot, there was a lost opportunity to expand her more in 4, to make her more relatable for a one-off. Just a little bit. Like, I feel like there could have been a chapter where, like, I understand that. It's like, it's the Drake and Elena show, love forever, spoilers, but we knew they were going to get back together. Like, that was kind of inevitable. So, like, if they were gonna do this one-off with Chloe, I feel like they should have given Nadine just a little bit more. Because you know what else I would like to see? I'd actually like to see, like, Elena and Chloe. Because, like, they kind of don't like each other, but they both have really strong skill sets.
I mean, and, well, they both did sex the Nathan. And, I mean, but one of them married the Nathan.
Like, if they did their one-off before, like, he gave one of them the final rose, Bachelor reference, like where you have, like, their frenemies, but then they kind of get each other, and then it becomes, like, a, like, amicable rivalry for his affection and his dick. Like,
I don't know that everybody wants to play a game for Nathan Drake's dick. I'm there for that. I am there for that. But I don't know that you would necessarily sell that.
No, but I'm just
coming out of Naughty Dog.
I just think, like,
I feel like that would be a fan project.
Like, I would like that to be like a DLC one-off, like, what if? And, like, because I think I would like to hear that dialogue between them, where, like, where they're talking. Like, yeah, so this one time I was on this adventure, and then, like, finally Elena's like, you mean the one that was with Nathan? Yeah, he was there. Like, I think it'd be funny and awkward. Like, it could easily be, like, a non-serious DLC. But, like, I feel like there's a missed opportunity for, like, really cool, awkward, funny banter to happen. And when you have such strong...
Let me ask you this question. Do you need that as a DLC playable, or really would you prefer that as, like, an FMV?
Like, no, because I'd want them to be fighting, like, taking out bad guys and not killing them or knocking them out or whatever lets people sleep at night. And, like, just see them come to terms with, you know, the fact that there's history on both sides. And they can still be friends, even if Nathan decides to be with whoever.
Right. But I guess what I'm asking you is, do you want to play that, or do you just want to watch that happen?
I want to play it. Because I feel like when you
I'm asking.
Oh, okay. I would want to play through that and get to experience the immersion of, you know, obviously I think I'd want to control Chloe over Elena just a little bit. But, like, I would want to be in those shoes. So, I mean, with Lost, like, let's talk a little bit more about Lost Legacy, because...
Right. Some of the early points that you just brought up are in Lost Legacy. It's between Nadine and Chloe.
Like, I want to know how Nadine and Chloe even know each other. I'm hoping they're going to address this in Lost Legacy.
They do.
Like, where does this fall in the Uncharted timeline? Like, is this before she becomes a mercenary with Wraith? Like, is this after? So tell me.
In Legacy, Nadine has lost control of Shoreline.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So it's after the events of 4?
Yep.
Okay.
And so she is focused on getting Shoreline back, because Shoreline was started by her father. And so there's this bit of dialogue between Chloe and Nadine at one point in the game where Chloe's like, look, you're badass. You can do pretty much whatever you want. Why are you wanting Shoreline back? And she's just like, I don't like being, you know, buffed. I had a partner. They took the loot. They took my company. You don't do that. Da, da, da. And Chloe's just like, not buying it, obviously, and so she pushes her a little bit more, and she's like, because it happened on my watch. So the drive behind Chloe to get Shoreline back isn't necessarily because she wants or needs Shoreline back for herself personally. She wants it back because she lost it under her watch, so she feels like she's let her dad down.
She wants to clear her slate.
Yes.
She feels indebted by it, and she wants to restore balance. I get it.
So ultimately what happens is you learn early on in the game that Chloe has actually recruited Nadine to help her on this caper, basically, that she's on. She is trying to find the lost tusk of Ganesh.
Okay.
And she's gotten into, basically, a point where it's beyond her ability to work through on her own. So she pays Nadine as a mercenary to work with her. So that's how they became buddy-buddy on this thing. Now, the way that they're connected, obviously, is because Nadine, you know, she has some issues with the Drake brothers.
Yeah. Okay?
You know, she's real pissed at Sam.
I bet, for obvious reasons.
You know, for obvious reasons. Okay? And so that's how everybody kind of knows everybody, because in the world of thieves, Shoreline is well known. So they've known about Nadine, just like Nadine has known about them. Okay? Nadine doesn't really, right off the gate, trust Chloe, but she's doing all of the intel stuff that Chloe herself can't do. What they are up against is where they are searching for and believe that the tusk may be is right on the cusp of a active war zone that is pretty much being pummeled by this guy named Asav. And Asav also wants the tusk of Ganesh because ultimately he just wants unbelievable wealth and power in order to take over the region and crush his enemies and parasites that are there to only fatten their pockets.
Uh-huh. Got it.
Okay, so Asav is the super baddie that, you know, is gonna fuck our Christmas, but in the end, like, we'll fuck his Christmas. As most Uncharted games go, it is a combination of a little bit of stealth, bunch of shooting, and then, as you alluded to, casual takedowns and knockouts. Here's where it's a little bit different. Chloe doesn't just knock out anybody. Chloe kills everyone. There's no, I'm gonna take, like, the passive route with this. No. No, she kills everyone. Like, even if you do a silent takeout, like, there was one that I did where I was like, okay, I'm gonna creep over this guy over this bar, and I'm gonna knock him out. So I hit my square, thinking I'm just gonna, like, punch his head, take him out. No, just as you get to the ground here, I was like, oh, I straight up snapped his neck. Like, and there was no additional button push. That's just what happened. We be popping necks. Chloe be popping necks.
Chloe be climbing that kill count.
Yeah, that kill death ratio is high. But that makes sense because, you know, when you think about Chloe from the earlier games, you know, especially in 2, like, Chloe gave, like, no fucks.
She's just like, get your shit done. I have the getaway. Because right. I think for most of, like, 1 and 2, like, they really kind of gave her, like, a secondary, not too much to do, be sexy, like, thing. And then they branched her out a little bit more, like, when she wasn't around for a lot for 3 because she was doing her own shit. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I'm not going to play by other people's rules. I'm going to play by my rules.
Yeah, she played by her rules.
Which is, if I catch you, you dead.
Yeah, if you in my way, you die.
Maybe her and Nadine could, like, link up with that because, you know, she's a mercenary, she's already kind of on the rampage of, I'm gonna kill shit, so, like, we can be friends.
That's part of the thing that starts to link them. Obviously, as you progress through the game, going through the different platforming stuff, all of the normal things that you would expect in an Uncharted game are there, so you have treasures all hidden around, so you're really encouraged to explore around, not just critical path it, because there's treasures everywhere.
Hey, bro, how's the booty?
The booty's good. The booty's good. The booty's not like, quack, whoa, quack, I'm a duck. Like, okay. Chloe is proportional.
All right.
Okay. So,
okay.
I have not, like, in most of the squatting down to go through stuff, like, the camera dollies in and comes up to, like, right over your shoulder. So you're not just, like, ass cam all the time.
I miss the good
Which
old...
Which is better.
I know I gave her so much crap for having a duck ass.
Yeah.
But she, like,
got the booty, but it's respectable. It's respectable.
Okay. You can bring the booty home to mom, and mom would be like, damn.
You can bring it home to mom. It's not like, you know, Miami strip club booty at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's not...
okay.
That's not where we're at. Okay, we're more right. like...
Lady in the streets, freak of the sheets booty?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. when I'm walking around, you can't tell, but when I get home, I can clap for you with no hands.
She make a clap, clack, 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 clack. Yeah. So that's where we're at, which I respect. I respect because, again, at this point in this game, Chloe's further along in life than she was in two. So okay. it makes sense that it's more respect a booty. That's what I would call it.
Respect a booty.
Respect a booty. Yeah.
Respect a booty. I like it.
Yeah, you know, run with it. So... what's interesting is the character progression really is about, as you're going through these puzzles, again, it's uncharted, so there's witty banter back and forth between the two of them that fits their character styles. You know, early on, there's a point where Chloe's about to fall because, you know, everything breaks around everybody for more drama.
I feel like that was so I'm playing through, me and my husband are finishing Uncharted 4 finally. And, like, we're at the point now where, like, we've done all the puzzles Nathan that, Brake. Like, huh?
You're at the Nathan Brake?
Yeah. Perfect. We're, like, where he's in the tower, the bell tower, and shit's just falling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Sully would have been dead the first time you rang that bell and shit fell off. Like, there's no way. There is no way. I cannot disband my belief that no one has died yet.
It's a like disbelief.
What I can't do that either. Like I can't do either of them because it's just so not a thing. There's no way in hell. I'm sorry. So it's like no. I'm like this has to all be in Drake's head because he's like unstable and a mental and like because there's no way. This is all hyperbole. His life is not nearly this interesting. Like I'm waiting for the tilt to happen and we see him like rocking back and forth in a full pillowed room. Like I'm waiting for it and it doesn't come. I'm like, but yeah. So Lost Legacy suffers from fallitis.
Look, it's not so much that it suffers. I mean, it's just a staple of Uncharted games, right? Like that's how you add more sense of urgency and excitement and thrill to a scene, especially an action thing. But that's the easy mechanic to do it.
I'm sorry, get a stunt man and like rig them up to wires and make them sit. And make them sit. No, I'm sorry.
I need stunt men in a video game.
I know, but
we have stunt pixels.
No, Matt Pat, who like does like, you know, games, like game mechanics in real life, like he has a show on YouTube, read about it. He needs to like get a stunt guy, rig them all up and be like, okay, we're going to simulate all of the falls.
You are dead. Like, there's nobody that has upper body that can jump off a cliff and then fingertip grab onto a ledge.
But, like, I want someone who's in tough physical condition, like a stuntman, to, like, go through the rigmarole and then, like, at the end, like, try to stand up. Because I'm sorry, there is no way.
No, you die.
After you've been like when he's being pulled in the mud, and then he has to dragged through the mud, and has to like climb up on the back of this truck and take out all these people shooting at him from like little jeeps and like two people on a moped, and then he has to jump because certain like trucks blow up because that's the part that I'm at right now, and I'm like no, I'm like he'd be shot in the head at that first pass. I'm like, you know how
he's not gonna take turns shooting. Oh well, you missed. Now it's my turn.
Right.
Anyway, so let's get back to this so that you get to your piece.
Sorry, the fucking realism from Tomb Raider, like every time that she got impaled. No, I'm just saying you need to make it more realistic because in Tomb Raider, like you messed up those QTEs, she got flattened by a rock. That's reality.
Hey, in fucking Tomb Raider, you fight a bear. You're not gonna win against a bear that big.
There are people who fought bears.
You are dead.
I'm just saying.
You are bear food.
I'm just saying. Anyway, at least they were realistic about some of that.
Focus. Huh? You ain't gonna get no time.
I mean, that might just happen because of the way we talking, but go ahead.
Okay, anyway. You're not gonna get much time. Let's just be real. Okay, but anyway. The interesting thing is, as you play through the game, and there's banter back and forth, you start realizing that's not just kind of the mercenary life that they have in common, Chloe and Nadine.
Do they have daddy issues? Do they both have daddy issues?
They both have daddy issues.
Oh, I knew it!
during this one session, after you've made it to these two pillars, I call them pillars, of Ganesh, that were the border to the city of Hoysala, where they fought back the Persian invasion.
Uh-huh.
It's absolutely gorgeous. So, the absolutely gorgeous environments that Naughty Dog is known for making in Uncharted games, yeah, it did not stop with this game. They are as gorgeous as 4. It's stunning. And the character rendering is also stunning. Which makes sense, because it's a 40 gig download on your PlayStation. So, yeah.
Okay.
It's big, but it's beautiful. The returning driving missions that you had in 4 are back. So you're going through muddy areas, slipping down mud, having to find and get the angle to get to places where you have traction to go up. You have a bunch of little mini ruins that you go through and collect some items and treasure. And as you're going through these things and you're going more and more into more difficult fights, I would say that Nadine's AI is actually better than Sam's.
Oh!
So there are times when you're on a level, and you know how sometimes you're like, you're not exactly sure where to go, because you can't figure out in this environment what they've made, the color element to tell you where you need to go.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's light, sometimes it's a yellow thing, sometimes it's a blue thing, sometimes it's a brown thing, and the whole level is brown, and you're like, I have no idea what brown thing I'm supposed to be looking for.
Nadine, help me out with that. You're brown.
Like, literally, there was one point where I was in this area, and I was like, I have no idea where to go. And again, like, I was maybe 35 seconds into walking into the area, and all of a sudden you hear Nadine going, well, this looks interesting. And you're like, where the fuck are you? And she's, like, standing on top of the thing that you need to, like, interact with.
Brown girls gotta stick together.
Or will even open stuff for you.
Oh.
Which is nice. And when it comes to fighting, she's useful. She's, I would say that in like the firefights with like gunfights, the AI is still the same as Sam. So like there'll be times where like she'll be hunkered down in the grass and you're like, the dude is right in front of you. Why don't you take him down? And she just stays in the grass. And you're like,
oh my God, Sam gets on my flipping nerves. Like,
fuck you, Nadine.
Like you're going through all the Thomas 2 Avery stuff and like you see like a skeleton that's been like stabbed because you have to like stick your hand in to like pull like a cord or something. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, like you solved the whole puzzle. And then he's like, all right, Nate, put your hand in there. And I'm like, you could have been right there, dude. It's clearly right. Like, why am I like I mean, we've talked about it on this show. So like I know like he's gonna betray Nate and stuff, and I haven't said anything to my husband, but he's starting to like get it. And I'm just like, he like leading you around, making you do all the work. Like, Sully's old. So like when you get to the bell tower, I'm like, no, Sully, you will break a hip just looking at these bells. You stay down here. Like that made sense.
To be all in line,
like,
so.
Like that made sense, but I'm like, and then when you like navigate something that's really treacherous, like you're jumping from the thing to thing, the minute you get up there, there's Sam like, yeah, I figured this out 20 minutes ago. It's like, fuck you, dude. You were over there a minute ago.
There's a few fuck you, Nadine moments in the game, and that's really, I will be honest, that's on me, because again, I'm like, but there's not a person controlling that. Like, if you were sitting next to me playing it and you stayed in the grass when the dude walked by, like, I would actually punch you in the shoulder. But it's, I can't.
I'm not surprised to hear you say that.
Because they're like, okay, you gotta take lead. But again, that's really just in firefights. When it comes to your melee fights, Nadine is boss. Okay, I went into this.
So she's just
fight.
Running up, punching people in the dick?
Yo.
Bam.
And we'll combo fight with you. So, remember the trailer that they showed at E3 for the game, and then there was the fight on the rooftop, and they showed the dual takedown with Nadine and Chloe, and everyone was like, ah, and lost their shit? That's not a one-time thing. Whenever you're in a melee fight and there are multiple guys, because multiple guys will fight you all at the same time, so the AI doesn't do the take turn thing.
Oh, that's
you
nice.
You actually have a pack of dudes, so you really do, in fact, need to dodge and pay attention. When it looks like people are going to throw punches at you, because guys will grab you and hold you, and other...
Get your hands off me!
...will come and try to punch and kick you.
Okay.
And what's awesome is, I went into this one fight, and I thought that there were only two guys in the room, but there were actually 6 guys in the room. And I did not know that.
Okay.
Because if I'd known that there were 6 guys in the room, I would not have Leroy Jenkins myself into the room.
It's like, come on, Nadine. I'll take one, you take one. Easy work. Aw, right. Shit.
But I full-on Leroy'd. I'm like, oh, I can take down two guys. That's no problem. But then the four other guys who were in the corner, in the shadow, I don't know what the hell they were doing over there, came out and I was like, ooh, this is where I've done goofed up Aaron. And so I'm trying to fight these guys, and one guy grabs me, and this other guy punches me in the head. I rear up my legs, like, kick off, and all of a sudden, I just see the guy that I'm about to kick drop and hit the ground. Nadine had come into the room, and she had taken out the four other dudes.
Damn.
I was like, well, damn. So then she punched the guy that was holding me in the head, because when you get grappled, you have to rapidly tap the triangle button to get out of it. And I forgot that I needed to rapidly tap the triangle button.
That's all right. Nadine got you.
They only tell you once things that you need to do, and that's it, which is nice. It's not a constant reminder every time you walk up to a block, like, push forward and hit X to go over. They tell you one time. They're like, okay, we hope you got it. So Nadine rabbit punches this dude in the head, and I turn around to punch him, and we both punch him in the face at the same time. So nice. In melee fights, you will have random combo takedowns as long as Nadine is with you, which adds to the game, because it's a nice little mechanic, and it's kind of like, in all honesty, it's like a super girl power moment for me, and I'm like, yeah, we did that. Eat those knuckles, treasure. Okay,
how's that sandwich taste, brah?
Right, but it's very interesting. Like, again, as you go on, you learn that, you know, Chloe lost her father many, many years ago. The reason why she's into archaeology is because her father was into it and kind of drilled it into her. And, like, one of, it appears, his main obsessions in the field was the Tusk of Ganesh and being able to find the city of Hoysala and to find the Tusk and figure out, you know, what happened. You see her, like, throughout the game kind of brandishing and revering this little, can't even make it out, it almost looks like a chess piece, but it's not, of Ganesh, and it's obvious after a couple of those conversations about her father happen, which responses to Nadine probing in conversation, where she's like, ooh, shit, I didn't know about your dad, and so it's obvious that, like, not a lot of people knew about her dad, that this particular mission for Chloe is very much emotionally driven.
Okay.
And
so they're both riding high on emotions and pride.
Right. And they're both being motivated by their dads in one way or another. Where Nadine's drive is because she lost the company that her father built and handed to her as the responsibility. You know, she lost
her legacy.
Legacy. Exactly. And finding this tusk and Hoysala
will restore
legacy.
Yep. Ah, lost legacy.
Right. And so, like, I had a moment, I was like, Naughty Dog, I see you. I see what you did. But it's really interesting to me. Yeah, it's very interesting to me on how these two characters are evolving in the game. It is very much more Uncharted. And so I really do feel like it's true. This had started out to be DLC for Uncharted 4. And I think as they got into it, that Naughty Dog really...
they realized they had something bigger than that.
They had something bigger than that. So you get more of the background of Nadine. The stuff that it wouldn't have really made sense to include in Uncharted 4. Because Uncharted 4 is really a thief's end. So that really needed to focus on Nathan Drake. So right. Spend too much time on exposition on Nadine wouldn't make sense. But to do it in a way where you've got her paired with this other character that is also not Nathan Drake, but is Drake... ish. Okay? Chloe has no problem killing every and anybody. She is definitely a person who isn't necessarily a betrayer, but will protect herself first before anybody else. No questions asked. That's the Chloe that we know. So to put those two types of characters together and then give you a whole platform that isn't very long to get through. I think, you know, for a seasoned player, you'll probably run through this in under 10 hours. But it's strong enough that, you know, if you want to really explore it, you can have a deeper experience. But ultimately, it is about the legacy that these two women are either trying to recapture or, in fact, achieve. And that's really interesting. So, you know, I tip my hat once again to the team over at Naughty Dog because they've really done a fantastic job. Uncharted Lost Legacy, it has both the single player campaign, which will take you all the way through the story, and it also has a multiplayer campaign. So if
you can play with a friend.
Yeah, if you were like, hey, where's my multiplayer? Where's my deep ass multiplayer? Let me get some more multiplayer. Hey, here you go. And it's in Lost Legacy. And it's available on PlayStation 4 and it's only $40. So I feel like, you know, for the amount of interest that I have in these two characters to begin with, and the amount of game that I'm given, that's definitely, it's definitely worth the $40. So I'm glad that I bought it, and I've really enjoyed playing through it, and I think that for anybody that is a fan of the Uncharted story, the Uncharted legacy, if you will, Lost Legacy is definitely, definitely a piece that you should pick up and play. It adds more to the universe, and frankly, I could play a whole Uncharted game with Chloe and Nadine and be happy. That's the thing that this proves to me. So it doesn't have to be Nathan in order to be Uncharted.
Okay.
I am interested.
Because at first I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm really going to get into that. They're really trying to pander to me. Women power.
It's not a pander play. When you get into it, it doesn't feel like a pander play.
That's what I thought. And then when I saw the price point, I'm like, okay, so this probably was like DLC that they just made a separate game.
It's obviously that it was DLC, and then they realized that they could do something way more than just DLC, and they blew it all the way out. I think it started with a nugget of, like, this was probably going to be, like, a three-level mission to get to this Tusk, and as they started really, like, doing stuff with these characters, they realized, holy shit, we could actually do exposition and build out these characters.
And then ran into ground.
Exactly.
Good on you, Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Serious. So, that's what I have. What you got for the peoples?
Well, it's really funny that you were talking about a game that was like girl a girl. Like, because I'm talking about a game that was like girl a girl. So, we love Life is Strange here over at Esh. We've talked Agnosium. Mm-hmm. Infinitum. Because, I don't know Latin.
Infinitum?
Like, we've talked about it all day, every day.
All day. That ends in Y.
Well, so of course we heard that we were getting another one, and not only that, but our prequel, I was like, aw, shit. We're going to spend so much time with Chloe. We're going to see Chloe trying to getting all up in Rachel, getting dissed by Rachel. I just realized
that this is a Chloe-centric show.
Yeah. Oh my God, Chloe.
Chloe to Chloe.
I want to talk a little bit about Life is Strange Before the Storm, which the first episode of the 3-episode chapter or whatever comes out on the 31st. So we will see this come out, depending on when you listen to this, Thursday or like the day you listen to it. It really depends on you. And that will hit worldwide then. So let's talk a little bit about it. Because at first, when I heard we were getting a Life is Strange, I was like, after what happened in the first game, where can you go if you let the storm, happen? Like, you're essentially running from fate and death for the rest of your life. Thelma and Louise, baby.
Go to Vegas.
Exactly. So I was like, there's no way. So they're like, Before the Storm is going to be a prequel to Chloe. I was like, aw, shit. I'm like, but how is that going to work? Because, I mean, the big thing about Life is Strange was that, you know, freaking Maxine or whatever her name is. That's right, right? No. What's her name? The very emo one you play in it.
Max.
Ooh, Max, yeah. Caulfield, that's right. There it is. Took me a second. Like,
neurons just fired.
But, like, she has this time travel ability. I'm like, does somebody else around Chloe? Because I'm like, then it's just a repeat of Life is Strange, except now it's not Max and Chloe. It's Chloe and whoever. And I know that there was a lot of rumors that they thought that Rachel actually had the ability also, which I don't know if they're going to allude to any of that in this game or not, because Chloe is the person that we play and she is the center focus. You know, it's really funny that in both games it was Chloe, Chloe, Chloe. It's all about Chloe. But they're actually introducing a totally different ability in Before the Storm called Backtalk, which, you know, sounds really funny when you think about it, because all Chloe ever did in the original Life is Strange is talk back to everyone.
Yup.
No, like, that's all she did. And then she, like, kissed Max, if you let her kiss Max, and, like, whatever.
I let her kiss Max.
But, like, still, like, literally all she ever did was sass. Well, now that's an actual ability in this game where the player gets to call upon Chloe to, like, backtalk during very precarious situations. And sometimes that can be a good thing, but sometimes running your mouth gets your ass beat. So, like, there will be times where you may not want to backtalk because it might actually allude to something else that you need versus opening your mouth and then having to run from, like, 8 people who want to, like, hit you with bats and stuff. So it's like, okay, like, this could be interesting, this backtalk mechanic in place of time. And obviously very similar to Life is Strange, like, sometimes backtalk won't work. Like, I think that one time in the original Life is Strange where Max could not rewind, which is trying to keep the sad girl from killing herself. Yes. So I think they're going to do something similar with, you know, there will be certain areas where you can't backtalk your way out of stuff. And you have to properly navigate the conversation in order to, like, not have whoever do bad thing or kill self or whatever the tilt will be. I'm really curious that in Before the Storm, we're actually going to see all of Chloe's interactions with Rachel. Because, you know, like, that was her girl, and, like, that was also her girl, you know. And we're going to see that tension build when she, you know, Rachel decides to start hanging out with the dude and, like... Like, I'm really curious about this. And the biggest thing to come out of the news of Life is Strange Before the Storm is that, you know, Chloe was literally defined by her voice actress, which is Ashley Birch, who was also Tiny Tina in Borderlands 2. And, like, has done other things. And I think she still does Hey Ash, What You Playin' with her brother. And everyone was like, oh, man, we're totally going to get a whole game with Ashley Birch, where she's not, you know, a redhead who, like, kills tech animals and harvests their gear parts. Which I'm really upset that I can't get into Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, I'm really upset that I could not get into that.
I am so surprised that you can't get into that. Because of all the games, like, that were announced that year, like,
I was the most excited. I was the most excited about Horizon Zero Dawn. And then my husband started playing it, and I'm like, I was falling asleep watching him play. And I'm
That's like, never a good place for you to be.
It's not. Fall
asleep.
And, like, I'm not discrediting Ashley at all. Like, I think she was really strong in the vocal for Aloy in this game. But I also feel like there were some times where I'm like, I don't believe. Like, I couldn't get fully tapped in and immersed, and I think that's what really threw me out of it.
The Robo Dinos. Did you lose it at the Robo Dinos?
No. I think one, a lot of the conversations that Aloy would have, like, Aloy would be like, I'm really upset about this. And then the person she talked to would be like, I also am very upset about this. And, like, I'm like, are you gaslighting me? Like, I feel like everyone's gaslighting me. Like, what? Like, it was like that. Most of the times I watched a play, I'm like, I can't take any of these people seriously. I hope they all die. And then you find out they actually did, so spoilers. But hey, like, what?
Yeah, it's never a good place for you to be in a game where you're like, I don't think anybody in this thing died.
It's all like, I have to save humanity, or not. Like, the fact that I'm like, or not, is the problem. And I'm like, no, yeah, I should...
That is a big problem.
They should, like... Here I am, I am the chosen one, and it's up to me. And I'm like, nah, hard pass. Like, there's a problem with that. And like, as I watch him play, I'm like, I wouldn't want to save anybody. I'm like, can you just say no? Is there a no option?
Can you just say no to saving?
Like, press X to, like, fuck humanity? And he's like, no. And
I'm press
like,
X to dilly gaff?
I'm like, you could just keep dying and then, like, just not load up your save and, like, leave it in the confused game state that it is. It's in. And he's like, no, I'm going to finish it. And I'm like, fine, but I'm going to bed because I couldn't get into it. And it's really sad. Like, it really bothers me.
You should play Hellblade.
But anyway, so going back to Life is Strange Before the Storm, believe it or not, like I said, Ashley Birch isn't returning as Chloe. We are getting, who is it? I just had her name on my little piece of paper. We are getting I think her name's Rihanna. Rihanna DeVries. DeVries is coming back. And she's not only doing the motion capture for Chloe, but is also voicing her in this. And Ash is actually only on in this game as a writing consultant, so, like, they could try to get her to sound as much like her as possible. Apparently, the reason Birch decided not to reprise a role was due to the whole SAG-AFTRA strike thing that was going on.
Okay.
So that's why she decided to step down from the role. So she has her reasons. I'm glad it wasn't just like, I want more money. No. Fuck you. Like, it was for a legit, no.
Yep.
I'm standing up for this right thing. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Fine. There's going to be this interesting musical element to Life is Strange, which I always loved a rich, deep, enriched narrative. I also like when directors and games really want to bring all the elements into play somehow. It's why I really like Edgar Wright films, because he has a way of, like, making everything musical, even when you wouldn't, like, even when you're not expecting it. Because the thing about Edgar Wright movies is, you're not going to get it on the first pass of the movie. Like, you're going to ride on all the high of how exciting and fun it is, but you're not going to get all those nuances that he's worked really hard for you to get. It's in rewatches that you're like, I didn't hear that the last time. Oh my God, that totally, like, enriches the whole entire scene. Plug for Baby Driver. If you haven't seen it, go fucking see it. Because I think he shines the best. Like, Edgar Wright at his best is in Baby Driver, in my honest opinion. But in Life is Strange Before the Storm, there are going to be these elements in the background where Chloe's moods are going to be, you're going to hear her moods through the music that you hear during her encounters. So, like, when she's feeling sad and, like, detached and isolated, you're going to hear, like, a piano. And apparently when she's, like, fully, like, in her fuck everybody and fuck the world, her rebelliousness, you're going to hear, like, this electric guitar stuff. And then when you hear layered vocals, she's always going to be doing stuff with other people, like Rachel. And maybe Max, if they, like, show Max. So, like, I can't wait to see how all of these things will play into the musical scape that will bring this whole story to life. Because I imagine, because they're bringing it up, that it's, like, a core thing that they really want people to notice and drive home. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that will affect me as I play through it, because I am, in fact, getting it on Thursday. So that's going to happen. So it is available, or it will be available, like I said, on the 31st August for Microsoft, PlayStation, and Xbox One. I think if you get the deluxe edition, you get the bonus chapter that actually has Max in it. And I don't know if that's when she comes back into play in Arcadia Bay or not, but, I mean, who
does it? Well, the best stories end at the beginning, so...
That's right.
For them to... If it's the prequel, then it should end at the beginning of the next game, which is Max returning to
Arcadia Bay. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going to go into this going, okay, what did I really like about Life is Strange? And I hope they've, like, impressed upon it, because this is a totally different side of the story that we're getting now. So, like, I'm not going to hold it to the same standards that I hold the original.
And I think that that's fair.
And I honestly think playing through this will give you a better understanding. Like, maybe after I do this, I might actually go back and play the original Life is Strange, knowing all the back history and exposition we're going to get in Before the Storm. And it might make certain things that I didn't understand right away in the first game more relatable, because I'll have that back knowledge. Mm-hmm.
May influence you to make different decisions, in all honesty, than you did in some of your early decisions.
I still think I would sacrifice Chloe for a whole town still, but who knows? It may happen. But I'm not going to say yeah for sure.
No, because fuck Arcadia Bay.
I didn't let Chloe kiss me.
How we can easily prove to people that we are, in fact, different people. Because fuck Arcadia Bay, let's get out of here with Bay.
Nope. I was like, hey, Bay, I have saved you from your foot being caught in a train, you being shot in the face in the girl's bathroom. Like, I've saved you a lot. And I feel bad for the fat girl, because, like, I couldn't save her from the locker or, like, the puddle or the burning building.
Damn.
Like, yeah, I feel bad for her. Like, she got it really bad.
I mean, damn, bruh.
And it was like, oh, and like, I did save her from the pool. Like, when you went to, like, the party that was at the pool. Like, yeah. I saved her from being pushed in that. But I'm like, she still died in a fire, though, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, you really didn't save her.
I didn't. No. I just made her less wet. So, like, needless to say, I'm like, I've saved Chloe too many times.
No.
And Death
clearly. You can never save Chloe too many times.
Death clearly had it out for her.
And that's why you had to save her. That's why you had your powers.
Three times is enough. After we get into four, then it's no.
No.
So I don't know if it might change my mind. It may, but I'm looking forward to the experience either way.
I think that it'll be interesting for you to play before the storm and then go into the game where you end up in the storm. I think it'll be an interesting experience for you. And I think it would be interesting for a lot of people, especially those who didn't play the original Life is Strange game when it came out. Because, you know, there's a lot of people who didn't. And I think it would be very interesting for people to do the linear story as opposed to do the storm and then go back to the prequel. So it would be curious for me. So if any of you guys listening to the podcast end up playing the game that way as well, hit us up on our social or drop us an email and let us know, like, what you thought of it and how your experience went. Because it'd be curious for me. Like, I am not going to play Before the Storm for a couple of reasons. One, like, I can't have another Chloe obsession because I don't know how I feel about Rachel. Two, I like the experience that I had in Life is Strange and my story ended. And for me, I don't necessarily want another experience that might change my opinion of characters or change my opinion of how I ended the game because I feel very strongly in how I ended the game. And I'm good. Like, the story ended for me. So it's not like playing Before the Storm will give me a new ending. Because it won't. It'll just give me an earlier start point. And it would either force me to play through the second game or to leave it, like, alone and be upset that I didn't do it. So I'm interested to see what happens for you when you do the playthrough. But I gotta say, like, it's a really great time to be a gamer right now because there's some really fantastic games, you know, coming on the horizon, which is also cool. You know, Cuphead's coming shortly. Holiday's going to be interesting, to say the least. The Assassin's game is coming. I still haven't pre-ordered that. I don't know if I'm going to pre-order it. But there's a ton of stuff coming. Oh, yeah, and Destiny 2, which we will be playing. Be prepared. Ready your butts.
You've been warned.
You have been warned. So I think this is a good place to wrap up this episode this week. Next week, we are going to have a clip show because I am going to be traveling via PAX West. But when we come back the following week fresh, I will have a bunch of stuff for you guys from PAX to talk about, as well as, hopefully, Destiny 2. And by hopefully, I mean, no, there will be Destiny 2 talk. So stick around. It's about to get interesting. Make sure that you hit us up on our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can find links to our podcast, news, and reviews that the whole team is writing there. If you see any of the ads, we have a few on the site that, like, interest you. Click them through. It helps us, you know, host the website, which I appreciate. But definitely make sure that you check out all the stuff that we read and we write, as well as video things that we're going to be sharing on the channel as well. Get our podcast. You can subscribe. You can, well, listen to the podcast right on our website. But you can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device. Just search for the S-Cast and subscribe. We put out new episodes every week. And we do this all the time, talking video games, anime, and all kinds of nerdy things. So make sure that you subscribe. If you're not living La Vida I, that's okay. That's cool. No judgment here. You can also get our podcast in Stitcher Radio. You can get our podcast through Google Play. You can get our podcast through VogNetwork.com. There's so many different ways that you can get a hold of our podcast. Just find the one that suits you and make sure you subscribe. If you enjoy the stuff that we write about, we talk about on this podcast and on our website, then please make sure that you check out all the other shows and websites of all of the team members that make up the Land of Esh. They really appreciate the traffic. We appreciate you going through and enjoying the stuff that we're writing about, talking about, sharing about, gushing about across the nerdy spectrum. So if you're into J-pop, K-pop, anime, video games, manga, nerdy movies, you name it, then definitely make sure that you check out b3crew.com and the No Borders, No Race podcast, hosted by our homie, KBD, King Baby Duck, keeping it real for the 99. Make sure that you bookmark his site, get his podcast, subscribe. It is absolutely phenomenal. Anything little Japanese, too. Wednesday nights, our homie Hamsterman2049, author of SmashRook.com, streams live on Twitch, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can get the link on all of our social channels. He puts it up usually about 10 minutes before he goes live. Again, Hamsterman2049, playing new games and old games. Crazy fun. His Psychonauts gameplay, it was just like nostalgia for me. So make sure that you check him out every Wednesday at 9 Eastern. Also check out SmashRook.com. Our homie Phil the Issues Guys with Phil's Recap and Review. My favorite TV show recap series on YouTube. Hands down, just amazing. So much fun. So creative. You can call in, be part of chat live. You can check out his archive on issuesprogram.com or subscribe to his YouTube channel. I highly suggest that you subscribe to his YouTube channel. It's phenomenal. So make sure that you check it out. And last but not least, giving you the stuff that nerds crave, our homie Louis Hendricks and the team over at nerdcrave.com, covering comic books, anime, manga, video games, movies, TV shows. If it's nerdy and nerds are talking about it, the dudes over at Nerd Crave are all over it. So make sure that you bookmark all of our sites, you check out all of our shows and videos, share them with your friends, throw us some likes, throw us some subscribes, comment, let us know if there's something that you want us to check out or you'd like to see on any of our channels, and we will make it happen at some point in time. It might not be fast, but at some point in time, it'll be going down. All right, so with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time,
titties.